This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The Bears!
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
We have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
We like it, too. Chris Emma has got our Bears hit for us. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Okay, Emma, what are we seeing up at Halas Hall these days?
Guys, good to be with you. An hour or 2 hours or so on the practice field for the Bears today with Caleb Williams and the starters getting some situational work in there, some scripted work throughout the day. The story today is what Ben Johnson told us before practice, which is that Caleb Williams and the Bears starters will be on the field Sunday night at Soldier Field. And this is obviously different from this past Sunday where they kept the starters out. Ben Johnson got into the reason why they didn't play last weekend and why they will play on Sunday. So here's Ben Johnson.
Well, last week and really all through camp, I've been pretty consistent with the thought of reps are the most important thing to get him up to speed. And by the plan that we had a week ago, we were able to get him probably somewhere between 80 and 100 more reps than we would have been able to do had he played in the game. This week, it's a different schedule, different length of time in terms of in between games and all that. And so our plan right now is the guys that sat out last week, they will be playing this week.
What do you learn from players who are established starters who are playing in the preseason game? What do you look for out of them?
I think the trust that we've been talking about from the get-go, that's really where that comes into play. We haven't been here with this group, you know, as a coaching staff. And so that trust has been earning, and we've been developing that amongst each other. It's not a one-way street. It goes both ways. And so I think that's just another step in the progression, you know. I think it'll be great for them also. It's a night game. And so the ability to get ready, you know, at the hotel the night before the game. We kind of went through that with the family fest with those guys that didn't play the other day. Family fest, we stayed at the hotel and then getting to the stadium early and going through that process. And then now it's a night game, and so it's a little bit different procedure. And it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or if you're a 10th-year guy. I think going through those steps with a new staff, I think those are already critical components.
All right, so a lot of the logistics of game week, interesting stuff. Chris Emma, what do you think is different in terms of the volume of plays and kind of the goal of having Caleb work on those plays this week schematically? What's different in their process in terms of that this week?
Part of it is just the week is structured like your regular game week. So they had the Monday get back from the game, review everything. Tuesday was the players' off day. Today was lighter work, going on through some situational stuff, third down and intermediate kind of situations, some red zone as well. They'll get a little bit lighter tomorrow for an hour and a half. And then Friday's up is going to be different with the Bills coming in. But I think it's just about simulating a game week, getting everybody as prepared as can be for that kind of situation where you are going into that stadium and you are working with this coaching staff. And I like what Ben Johnson explained as to why they didn't play him last week, the idea of maximizing those reps. He felt at that point that it was more important to get as many reps possible for Caleb and the starters. And in this case, it's more valuable in his mind to get those guys a game week situation. So you've seen Ben Johnson adapt. It's not a one size fits all strategy. We're going to keep these guys out the entire preseason, or we're going to play them the entire preseason. He's adapting week by week and what his group needs to be successful. And I admire that strategy for a young coach who could come in here kind of set in certain ways. He's willing to do what his team needs.
Emma, what's it like from a communication standpoint for Caleb and these coaches?
Well, I found that one fascinating because there's a lot of guys on this offensive staff. Obviously, with Ben as the offensive-minded head coach, Declan Doyle stepping in for his first run as OC. Press Taylor, who was an offensive coordinator in the past, is your passing game coordinator. A young quarterback's coach in JT Barrett. And not to mention the guy who's older than both Doyle and Barrett is Case Keenum, the longtime veteran for this group. There's a lot of guys in Caleb Williams' ear. Ben Johnson was asked about that today, about how you streamline that operation and how you get those guys to provide what's necessary for Caleb and what's necessary for the offense. You're going to hear a term right out of the gates here, cooks in the kitchen. And I think too many cooks in the kitchen. Ben Johnson was out in front of this one. So here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, it's there can be a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And so by design, we've been very selective in who is in charge of what with him. JT's leading the charge. He's the quarterback coach in that way. And I've stepped back a little bit over the course of the week and allowed him, allowed Declan, allowed Press to really lead the charge in that room in terms of what's the intent of the play, what should we be doing with our drop, what should we be doing with our eyes. They see the game through my lens, so I trust them to be able to articulate that. And then I do sit down one-on-one with Caleb. I told you every player day off, we end up sitting down and we hash out what the passes look like past 4 days, past 5 days, whatever it's been, and then what we need to do going forward. So I think we've had a very clean and concise process in terms of the information that's being articulated to them. And I think it's gone really well so far in camp.
That's interesting. Emma, I'd love to know what you think about this after Sunday, which seemed to be clearly like a Ben Johnson hands-on production with Caleb.
Yeah, look, you can overwhelm any quarterback with too many coaches, too many voices in his ear. I admire that Ben has an idea of what he wants and what he doesn't want from certain members of this staff. And Ben's obviously the one in charge, but he understands, too, that he's got to oversee the entire team and, of course, both sides of the football. Ben is overseeing everything that Caleb is doing, but he also has a lot of trust in these coaches around him. And it's clear they want to empower JT Barrett, who's a first-time quarterbacks coach. Got to talk with JT Barrett as well, who seems like somebody that can really connect well with Caleb Williams. Both younger, young men, of course, with JT, you know, just a couple of years out of playing himself. And Press Taylor is somebody who knows ball, who understands what Ben Johnson wants in the scheme and how to provide it properly. So I think they're doing it right. I think they're setting up Caleb for success by letting the challenge be on the field. letting it come each day in practice in terms of what are you seeing? How are you handling this offense? How is your own development going? Don't overwhelm him in the meeting rooms or off the field. Like, that should be the place where you're comfortable. And we've seen it in the past here and at other teams where there are too many cooks in the kitchen. There are too many coaches and voices in the quarterback's ears. And Matt Nagy used the term sounding board. There were way too many sounding boards here in the past. Like, yeah. I think they've got the right operation in place.
You know what? I think they are doing it right. And I'm overwhelmed with this realization in terms of sometimes a quarterback comes to a bad situation and it takes a long, long time for him to get everything that he needs. You know, we'll be able to figure out at the end of this year just how good Caleb Williams is and can be. You know, like, I don't know that we'll have full clarity on his career, but we're going to have a guy who's got a really smart offensive head coach with an incredible coaching staff, a full array of weapons as receivers, including a rookie they drafted, two real good tight ends. It's like they're removing excuses from their evaluation of Caleb Williams in the long term pretty efficiently, in my view, as a guy who's watched quarterbacks not have what they need in this town for a long time. So that's a broader conversation, but it just hit me there in the middle. You mentioned Press Taylor. We just heard his voice for the first time last hour. He sounds a lot like his brother Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals, frankly, in terms of a vocal doppelganger. But what did he have to say?
Well, it's a good segue from what you just said, Speaks. I want to add to that because I completely agree, man. This is the no excuses tour for Caleb Williams. And yep. I think if everything goes well, if he's healthy and you're able to get him in and out of these games properly, then you're going to know whether or not he can be your quarterback long term. I'm not saying if you're going to know if he's going to be the franchise quarterback, but I think you're going to get a sense of what he has and what he doesn't. And I'm curious to see with the beefed up protection, with the improved playmaking, and most importantly, with the coaching staff that is ready to cater this offense to him and really try to set him up for success. I think you're going to learn a lot about Caleb Williams this year. Now, that segues well to what Press Taylor said, because what we know that the Bears are testing Caleb Williams in practice every day. They're putting a lot on his plate. But what is that specifically? Press Taylor, the passing game coordinator, gave a great answer about how they are testing Caleb Williams. So here's Press Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. There are certain calls that you get a number of different letters. I mean, there could be tags in the formation to tell guys who to motion, where to motion to, tags in the play call that tell you certain things, kills that you're having to get through. So sometimes it's you heard a word differently. Sometimes when you're not game planning too, the whole inventory of our offense can be thrown at you at any point in a practice where, you know, in a game, it's honed in, you've repped it every single day, and you see by Sunday, you've seen 4 days worth of work into certain calls where the quarterback's anticipating play calls based on what's in. It's a little tougher sometimes when the whole thing can get thrown at you and you're trying to, did he mean to say that? Was it did he say this? Did he say that? You're not exactly sure because there's not always a game plan built for a specific practice. So sometimes we can make that challenging, and sometimes that's just kind of what we're trying to get. We want a sense of urgency with the way we communicate it in the huddle and at the line scrimmage.
How's the process been in terms of getting this installed with them, developing Caleb in particular within this scheme and getting him to where he needs to be?
I think same thing as we talked about earlier. They're getting better every day. So you see growth every single day. It may not always result in the way we want, but you're watching the process of how they study, how they approach the practice, how they approach each huddle, each period, because in training camp especially, each period is so scripted. We're looking for certain things. It may be a red zone period. It may be a third down period. There's certain elements we're trying to add to a practice to make sure we check each box before we go into game day, because you know you want to make sure, do we get enough 3rd and 7 and 10s this week? Well, maybe we need 5 in this period to be able to kind of get up there to hit the whole inventory, but to see a number of different pressure packages as well. So you're just looking for growth every single day as we move forward to week one.
But it's a great job by Chris Emma in choosing tape for this segment, that first half of that especially, where he talks about the difference between what they've been doing in terms of throwing anything from the offense at him and now 4 days in a row of a game week. It speaks to where we started the show, Lawrence, about the benefit you get.
The difference between total offense versus game plan.
And
that each week you can kind of go in and say, all right, this is how we see this particular team. This is how we're going to attack them. And sure, you might draw from the playbook, but it doesn't mean that you have to be responsible for absolutely everything. And you're drilling those 30 plays, like you were talking about. Like, you're drilling that stuff to get yourself prepared for the other team. I hope that means that they have hope that in doing that, things will look better offensively than they've looked.
I have that hope, sir. I hope that they have that hope, and I share that I have that hope, Chris Emma.
I mean, look, like the term that stood out to me was the full inventory. I mean, this is a large, complex offense that they're installing here. They're just putting everything right on the quarterback's plate. It's not just Caleb Williams. It's Case Keenum, who's been in the league for over a decade, and Tyson Bajan, who has a lot of snaps under his belt, even as just a third-year guy. And they're putting a lot out there. I talked with Case Keenum after the game on Sunday. He's like, this is a challenging offense. Like, even for him, it is. And that's certainly the case for a young quarterback like Caleb Williams. So this is all part of the test. This is where you are right now at August 13th, where you're still throwing a lot at him, seeing how he's responding. But to that point, you know why the value of those practice reps are different. What he got last week in preparing to not play that game last Sunday versus this week, where they're trying to simulate the game, and it's going to be a little bit more focused for him. They scripted certain things today where you're able to get, you know, those third down simulations. But also, the end of practice today was an end of half simulation, and they started at their own 30-yard line with the starting offense. Caleb led them into field goal range for a fire drill field goal. He had only Olamide Zaccheaus for three completions. They got in, and Cairo Santos hit that fire drill kick. So that's an example of something you might get in a preseason game. We know they had the workout on Monday, which was a bit choppy. They had the stuff pregame Sunday, which was an opportunity to get on the field. So everything they're doing with Caleb Williams right now is with purpose, and that's what's become clear as you talk to these guys.
What's it like covering Eric Bieniemy?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about his style. First of all, he's just an incredibly pleasant man when I got to talk to him. And then he's out there on the field today and he's saying things you just cannot say on a radio station. I love that. That's the kind of coach you want. And there's a lot of those guys on that staff, Ben Johnson included, who incredibly pleasant when you talk to them as a reporter. But if you're a player and you're lining up wrong, you're going to hear from that guy. So with DeAndre Swift in particular, who had a down year last year, 3.7 yards per carry, it just wasn't what you wanted to see. There was a lot complicated, obviously, with the offensive line, struggling with the offense as a whole, change of coordinator. But really, when you look at DeAndre Swift, it comes down to the idea that he was dancing too much. He wasn't hitting the hole. He was hesitant, and it showed in his game. Eric Bieniemy is not going to put up with a hesitant guy who's dancing back there. Here's Eric Bieniemy on DeAndre Swift.
He brings his hard hat to work every single day. And I can say that for all my guys. They work extremely hard. They don't have a choice. All right? They wouldn't be here. But the thing that I love about him is that he's very humble. He accepts hard coaching. But on top of that, it ain't a lot that you need to correct. And so my biggest thing with him, he just got to continue just understanding. We're going to take what is given, okay? And whatever is given to him, take it. Because sometimes when you're running in between the tackles, the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. And sometimes you're faster than those guys on defense, forcing them to see if they can come and get you. But he's doing a great job so far.
It was obviously not the year he won in the last year. He's got production in the past. What's your belief in him that he can bounce back from last season?
Oh, I have a strong, unwavering belief that he can get it done. You know, that's just the kid he is. I loved him when he came out. And the thing that I want him to do, I want to bring out the very best of him in him. Okay, and he's done a great job of just being fundamentally sound every day. And like I said, has he been perfect? No, but he's very coachable. He auto-corrects, he listens, okay, and he applies the little things that you're talking to him about, and he goes out there and puts it to work.
Damn, that just made DeAndre Swift jump up my draft board in fantasy a couple of rounds.
You like, hate DeAndre Swift.
But I didn't hate him in Philly. And that's where he was coached well and coached hard. And last year's coaching staff for the Bears, Lawrence, I think we can all say, trash.
Yep.
And this guy is not trash. This guy is a fierce and very serious, direct running backs coach. And DeAndre Swift works hard. We'd heard that about him last year. It's not like he's a dog. He was just bouncing everything outside and nobody was saying, hey, please don't, because he was a high-paid free agent. And Eric is saying, no, no, no. Hey, he's going to take what's given. That's what he's going to do. That gives me some hope for DeAndre Swift.
If they...
I mean...
Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead.
Yeah, you talk to people in this building who, look, let's be honest, like they looked at the running back market. I mean, they looked in the open market and free agency. There wasn't anything that jumped out to them. They looked at everything in the draft. I mean, Genty, the price is too high. Trevion Henderson was right there before they picked and snatched off the board. Cam Scataboo, like there were guys they looked at before Kyle Manunga in the seventh round. they're not totally sold on DeAndre Swift, but they are also bullish because of what Eric Bieniemy brings to him. And they believe with Bieniemy coaching him and an offense that's more functional, with beefed up protection up front, with three new starters in the interior, and potentially a fourth at left tackle, that you're going to get the best out of DeAndre Swift, what you saw in Philly 2 years ago.
So now that we have a better understanding on how all of this goes, let's flip over to some defensive personnel. How's Jaquan Brisker doing?
Well, he said, you know, he'll take the field on Sunday for the first time since in a preseason game, granted, that since he got hurt last year. Quick answer, you know, are you comfortable playing? Any concern? He's like, I wouldn't be out here if I was uncomfortable. So he's ready to go. And you've seen a strong camp from Jaquan Brisker. I think about that pick he had last week against Tua Tagovailoa in practice. Gets to go up against Josh Allen on Friday. But he gets to go up against this starting offense of the Bears every day and vice versa. We talk about the challenge of iron sharpens iron, as you often hear. They're challenging each other schematically. So you're going to hear Jaquan Brisker two parts talking about the challenge that the defense sees going up against this offense and then vice versa, what the offense gets going up against the defense. Here's Jaquan Brisker.
Our disguise, our safeties, the way we sell our look, the way we're, you know, 12, 14 yards deep and things like that, that's a big difference. And not showing our hand, you know, coming down during the snap, things like that. So just try to, you know, keep the picture the same, but when he calls Hutt, just show a different picture, obviously, depending on the defense. Motions, zoom motions, fast motions, things like that. The way they break the huddle, sometimes they might break it fast, sometimes they might break it slow. They'll be under center, they'll be in shotgun. They'll have different looks where they come out in 12, 13, where they have the tight end at fullback. Just a lot of different looks, just the way during the snap that they move a lot of players and things like that. So I feel like that's challenging for us, but it helps us in the long run.
Now what we get is the possible schematic iron sharpening schematic iron. You know, coaches sharpening each other, making the opposition smarter in ways that we didn't have. That could be good.
I mean, yeah, you're seeing it, right? I mean, we know what Ben's doing out there with the motions, trying to disguise so many things, and Dennis is the same. And we heard from Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson talking about going up against each other, the fun they're having, and that competitive fire about not wanting to let the other one kind of win the day. So they've had some fun putting out their respective sides of the football against each other and battling a little bit, but it doesn't make you better in the long run, and that much is clear.
Nuggets and tidbits?
Yeah, Jalen Johnson is on track for week one, according to Ben Johnson. Of course, still on the NFI list. Kyler Gordon is considered week to week with a hamstring injury. Ben Johnson said they believe he will be back before the end of training camp. So we'll see how that one plays out. Some revisions in the tackle competition. Now, Braxton Jones worked primarily with the ones today. Working with the twos at left tackle was Theo Benedict, who moved in last week, seemingly into this competition. Ozzie Trapillo worked in at right tackle with the second team unit. So I'm curious to find out more as to what's going into that. You can kind of form your own conclusions, if you will. I'm starting to do it as well. I mentioned the end of practice scenario with Caleb led them downfield. Up and down day for the offense. A lot of penalty flags out there, which, of course, we've seen plenty of throughout the course of this camp. And Hard Knocks is back. The Hard Knocks cameras are out. The production staff is here. Of course, the Bills are having this season's preseason Hard Knocks. So they will be full go for Friday. You're going to get a sample of Bears camp from Hard Knocks next week.
Man, chock full of good stuff today, Chris Emma. Good work, sir. Thank you.
Take care.
I drew some conclusions from that tackle news. Did you?
I don't know if I drew the same. What'd you?
Ozzie Trapillo getting some work just in case he's the swing.
Right.
Okay, get some right tackle work in case he's the swing.
I kind of marry that with the Roshar, and it's like Braxton needed some work. So they put him to work.
Could be that. And then I thought Kieran Amagaji might not be long for everything going on.
Kieran not gonna work here anymore.
I'm gonna go get another job.
We need to take a break because, as you can imagine, there are a lot of people talking about your quarterback.
Oh, boy.
And it's not great. We'll share what we mean next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. Tribute to Cyrus would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey! Hey, wait a minute!
Afternoons on the Score.
This could equate to Caleb, too. Bo had a great defense, right? And he acknowledged that he had a great defense. And he played like he had a great defense. He didn't take very many sacks. He protected the football. And not taking very many sacks is the opposite of what Caleb did this past year. But Bo kind of knew, like, I'm going to get the ball back. My defense is probably going to take care of business. But he didn't have a lot of great skill players around him. And I think what he did is he limited, you know, and Sean's great at this. And that's a big part of why you go and you pay a Ben Johnson what you pay him, and you pay a, you know, Sean Payton what you pay him, and you go and you overpay, you know, at a coordinator spot to get Cliff Kingsbury, is because of what they can do to help your quarterback.
The more we look back and reflect, the more painful it becomes. But there's also responsibility that Caleb has to get better, and that is going to be put to the test this season under Ben Johnson. This is Spiegel and Holmes Show, by the way. We appreciate you hanging out. We're here until Cubs pregame, which starts at 5:30 here on the Score. And the Cubs, Southwest. Radio Network.
Man, you said airlines. We needed airlines in there.
Airlines.
Is that a record pause there, Lawrence?
Yeah, I don't know.
Airlines.
Mean, there was a lot of pregnancy going on in there. A lot of it. James Palmer.
Radio Network.
James Palmer referenced the quarterback tears by Mike Sando in The Athletic, right? He referenced that yesterday, and I hadn't read the descriptions yet. I had seen where Caleb Williams was. He's quarterback 23 in Mike Sando's quarterback tears.
That hurts a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is based on, like The Athletic does in different sports from time to time, hardcore interviewing of a ton of industry sources, executives, coaches, you know, the GMs, all sorts of people around the NFL. and where they think these quarterbacks are strong or not. So I want to read you some of this. I want to read the listeners some of this stuff here, okay? Caleb Williams entered the 2024 draft as the number one quarterback, enters his second season facing questions about his ability to process and play quickly after taking 68 sacks, third most in NFL history. Quote from a general manager in the NFL, I think that will come in time. Maybe it's a little bit like Josh Allen early in his career. We had so much good other stuff that you live with some negative plays and he gets more snaps under his belt. That part will come. Okay, that's nice. Then there's some others. Here's a defensive coordinator. He's got the talent to go up, but in terms of processing ability and getting the ball out of his hands, it was the worst we played against. Says a defensive coordinator in the NFL. He just holds the ball forever. I'm thinking the ball should go right there. Throw it. And he did not throw it. Voter after voter raised the same concerns. Here's an opposing head coach. He's definitely a number one talent. I just think it's going to take him longer than Jaden Daniels. He's not playing fast right now. There's something there. His processing to me was alarming watching the tape.
Oh, boy.
Processing. Here's more from another coach. You saw signs and ability, and also I think you saw signs and ability that scare you. Nervousness in the pocket. Inability to see and play on time. But I do not know yet if that was him or coaching. Parts of me wondered if you could get it done with this guy, but it's good enough to make you think you have a chance.
Yep.
Here's another one from a defensive coordinator. He's very talented. Ben is more under center. Caleb is more of a shotgun quarterback. That dynamic's going to be interesting to me. I would not be shocked if the kid plays well. Ben is good. He can adjust. I'm sure they'll find a happy medium somewhere.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, okay. That's good.
So that's good. And, you know, there's a guy thinking that Ben's going to adjust. The Josh Allen comp is a good one. We heard that for Justin as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And Justin's in tier four.
Justin's in tier four.
Strangely, right behind Russell Wilson again.
That's crazy. But the fact that three different quotes, from one from a GM, one from a head coach, one from a DC, his processing to me is alarming to watch when you watch the tape.
It's really interesting that that has now become a major concern for Caleb. Like, that was not something that coming out people were necessarily concerned, but the 17 games, granted, it was with an idiot coaching staff and an offensive line that I still think was more suspect than graded out. This is now something that people are like, huh, there's the weakness in his game. Processing. Speaks, what if I told you that someone else brought up the same thing before this piece came out? Teron Armstead, who played left tackle for forever, he was at practice last week against the Dolphins. Strangely enough, by the way, he also helped out with the Bears tackles after practice.
Did he really?
Which I thought was fascinating. It might even be in the inside. It is. Thank you, Baby T. This is what he thinks and what he saw from Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, like I'm seeing him, and you can see the number one overall pick talent. You can see where that came from and why he was number one overall pick. And you see it. You see some impressive throws. But Caleb's process, as we talked about quarterback processes, Caleb's process playing that quarterback position has to improve fast. And pretty fast, in my opinion. On a consistent basis, Caleb was not able to recognize where he was in danger. He wasn't feeling pressure. He wasn't feeling blitzes. He wasn't seeing blitzes and threats pre-snap. Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, was able to send guys from all different spots on the field. And, man, a lot of those got home. A lot of those would have been sacks. So – as many times as Tua would have been sacked during this practice from what the Bears were doing up front, Caleb Williams would have been sacked even more. Just really not seeing it. I know Ben Johnson has purposely put a lot on his plate right now for him to try to overload him with information and hopefully that'll speed up his process. But for the Bears to be successful this year and moving forward, his process has to get faster. He has to be able to diagnose his threats. Where pressure is coming from, pre-snap reads, kind of understanding coverages, is he has some work to do in that spot. And I'm rooting for Caleb. I like the Bears. I like what they have. We got a lot of talent over there, a lot of weapons on offense, DJ Moore, Romeo, Luther Burden. I really like both of those young tackles that they have, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. I work with both of those guys after practice for like 20, 30 minutes. Got some really great technique work. I really like both of those guys.
Damn. Teron Armstead played in the NFL for a long, long time. Went to five Pro Bowls, knows what a quarterback has to do in terms of processing pre-snap and where pressure's coming from. That's really difficult stuff against smart defensive coordinators who are disguising it on you. So it's interesting. I mean, it's the same word. It's the same processing. That's brain stuff. That's the stuff they can't figure out how to scout until you get to the NFL and have to process the amount of stuff you have to scout. Let me ask you something. From the quotes in the tears piece, when those guys said processing, I thought some of them were talking about going through progressions and reading routes and deciding when to throw it during the active play. And Armstead is talking about pre-snap processing. So you need both.
Pre-snap to post-snap. I think that all of that is inside of the same bucket of processing. And I actually really like what Armstead said because I think it actually gives us a cleaner definition of it. I think that we often go, this guy can't move from read one to read two. This is more of, does he understand what he's seeing as he walks to the line of scrimmage? And if he doesn't, that is problematic. To go along with all of the operational stuff, to go up there and see, and this is a part two where if you add in the difference, this is right here, Speaks, the difference between a quarterback under center and a quarterback in shotgun. Because the quarterback in shotgun can kind of keep looking. He can kind of keep looking, even as the ball is snapped sometimes, to see what's going on. If he has trust in his center on where everyone is and where everyone rolled to as the play was getting called out. This, to me, is a little scary, but not I understand why it's happening. Like, this is the difference. This is the difference in you used to do this. Now you're doing this.
It's scary because it's the same stuff from a lot of different sources. Sean Payton's quotes in the Wickersham book that John Greenberg referenced yesterday were twofold. One was about dealing with failure, and I think Caleb actually did a pretty damn good job of that last year.
But that was team failure. He can realistically look at last season and go,
I did all right.
I did all right.
Yeah. And so that was one of Peyton's things. The other one was processing. He used the same word. So now it's either a groupthink criticism or at least confirmation on where he is right now. So I don't it's scary because it's so much of the same. But
there's a lot of, I mean, we know that, you know, Mike Sando, like he doesn't, like there's a lot of respected names like inside of that he can't name.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
And
then you add in someone like Sean Payton. And I'm pretty sure Teron's career was with Sean Payton for a while, right?
He played for Dan Roshar for 6 years in New Orleans. So that's probably why he was working with the Bears tackles.
Yeah. Oh, he played for Dan Roshar.
So this is a guy who probably sees offense the way that Sean Payton sees offense.
Well, yeah, that's right, because he was with the Saints from 13 to 21. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so maybe they've talked about some stuff.
I don't know if they've talked specifically about Caleb. I just think that if you've played in a system,
yeah, terminology, commonalities,
you know what to expect. If you've been a tackle,
good point. Very good
and
point.
You know what a quarterback, when the ball's supposed to be out, kind of looking at the formation, like think of it from his standpoint of him being like, oh, I know what this defense is because I've been an offensive lineman for 12 years in the league.
So can you teach that?
Yes, you can. I don't like the absolute statements about a guy either has it or they don't.
I agree. I agree in terms of humanity, and I do agree in terms of athletes that you can learn, you can get better. It just, it might take longer. It might take longer. Sometimes some quarterbacks go the Geno Smith route.
Correct.
Or the Baker Mayfield route.
Correct. Where those takes, are great examples.
It takes several years for them to see it and right way.
And it takes you getting away from incompetency. And so that's where, to go back to the really positive quote inside the piece,
yeah,
that's where if you need solace, you can look for it in that.
You look, and Josh Allen did it in a fast time.
Right.
Did it within the first rookie contract.
You get the right coach with the right quarterback, and some of that stuff can figure itself out. I do think that there's a bigger conversation here, and I know Bears fans might not even want to have the bigger conversation. I think that now that everyone, and I mean us, I mean a Bears fan, everyone's a GM, and everyone knows about the quarterback clock, and everyone knows about how much money quarterbacks eat up inside of a salary cap, that there is a rush to make quarterbacks a finished product before the end of year two. And I think quarterbacking is hard, and I think that it is not linear, and some of this stuff does end up having to be, oh, well, would you look at Baker Mayfield now? Another one of one.
Right.
Another one of the Oklahoma quarterbacks, right?
Yeah. Takes him a little while.
And then he threw for 5,000 yards
last
year. But there's a lot to sit with there, Speaks.
There really is. I'm going to hold on to those quotes. And I think an understanding of what processing is, you and I can delve into that a little bit more and how it works. We both watched the quarterback show on Netflix.
I wish Caleb would.
But, you know, Ben didn't want him to.
You don't know that. I wish Caleb would watch that show. He got it. You had a problem at the grocery store yesterday. You were to fight someone.
I need some help because I think I have now escalated a situation.
Oh Lord,
it was problematic to begin with, but now I've escalated it.
We'll explain next here on The Score.
Did you watch the quarterback show on Netflix? You didn't?
Nope.
I was going to ask you if any takeaways from
Ben
Johnson.
Watch it.
What did you learn from not watching it?
Keep going. Next play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademark used with permission.
Going home.
We're not afraid to remind people when we've had something correct.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right?
I learned it from watching you, Lawrence.
I learned it by watching you.
Afternoons on the Score.
Lawrence, I'm all lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily.
Why not?
Because I go there early in the mornings, usually, because I happen to be up that early, and it's empty. It's a very good time to go. Everybody's stocking.
Yeah, your weekday mornings are outstanding.
Super early, outstanding. And so I go, and there's always just one regular checkout lane open. You know what I mean? So there's one person.
One person in there, then there's the do-it-yourself aisle.
Right, but I've gone full grocery shopping, so I can't go to do it myself, right?
Do you like to do it yourself?
So I'm going in there with the cart, and I got my own bags, you know, and it's time to check out. There's two people who are usually there, one or the other. One of them, she's great. She bags. I help bag. We do our thing. We process together. Good to see you.
She bags. Oh, that's not
the. No, that's not her.
That's not the words of the song.
There's another one, Ricky Martin. There's another one that does not want to bag. She doesn't want to do it. And
so wait, are they together or they're separate?
They're two different people. Okay. So one is working or the other one is working, depending on which morning. So I always know when I go into my lane, I'm like, oh, there she is. She doesn't want a bag. Oh, boy. Because, like, I don't mind bagging. Of course, I'll help. But if it's a lot, you know, I'm on a little bit of a schedule. I got to get on. Like, I got stuff to do.
Help a brother out.
It can help me. It's part of your job. The other one, one point, she was helping to bag, and I said, thanks for doing that. She said, that's my job. I said, you're right. It is. Thank you very much.
Tell her.
Yeah. Tell your coworker. So she doesn't do it. So this, and it always happens. She doesn't do it. It takes a while, and then I got to do it. I'm like, man, just come on. You're supposed to be helping me out. This time it escalated. Okay. She's loading up all the stuff. And she's ringing it all, but she's not bagging it. She puts it on top of my two bags, right? She's got all the stuff there. It's on top of my two bags. And she's not bagging. And I'm just kind of like waiting. I find myself playing this little passive-aggressive game of like, is she going to notice that I can't even bag because she stacked them on top? And then she says this. Because she's done ringing it up, so she has to charge me for extra bags if I need them. She goes, do you think you're going to need extra bags? And I wanted to say, and I did say, I don't know. We have to bag it first before we find out if I need extra bags.
Did you say it like that?
No.
Okay.
I said, I don't know. Let's find out together, shall we? That's what
nice.
I said. Let's find out together. And she said, okay. And then we started loading bags together. And we got there, and I didn't need extra bags. But I know that it's not the most fun part of your job, but it's part of your job, people. So I'm in danger of descending into like a passive aggressive, like just kind of waiting on her to do it. And I just stand there for a while. What would you guys suggest? What would you suggest would be my MO here?
New grocery store.
Oh, man. Can't let her.
Or different time frame.
But that's prime shopping time.
I know.
Right there. I take the lady to Pilates, drop her off, and then I go and I do my grocery shopping. Let's go.
Alex?
You said that the person who bags that lane is full. Is that your issue?
There's
a line?
There's only one person. There's only one lane that's open. She's my only option in the 6 a.m. hour. I got nothing.
Yeah, you're screwed.
I'm screwed.
Baby, you're gonna have to bag your own groceries.
What would you do in this situation?
Baby T would probably also do the same thing that you guys all said. I don't know. Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm in trouble.
Oh, no!
So, yeah.
Do you think maybe you had a moment, though, when it's like, hey, let's do this together? Do you think that may have been a moment when the next time you see her, like, it'll be different?
Yeah, you know.
I think you should give it at least one more try.
Okay, I'll give it one more try, and I'll go in. So you're saying I should go in congenial. go in like cooperative.
Hey, remember last time?
Remember we bagged together? We laughed about how you asked me if I was going to need extra bags, and I couldn't know because you hadn't done any bagging yet.
I think that you went a little too far.
Hey, remember me from last time? We had a moment where you put all the groceries on top of the bags. I couldn't even do anything, okay, and then you're asking me to do it.
Is that also a little too passive aggressive?
She starts bagging. You guys start bagging together, and then you go pay the bill. So kind of leave.
Yeah.
Let her do a little bit more, and then you go back and help.
One texter said, Baby T definitely wasn't listening. It's okay if that happened, Baby T. It's all right.
He's like, what are you guys talking about? Grocery?
No, I agree. I had to think about it first, but there really isn't another option.
I don't think so. I think I'm screwed. I think another grocery store or going in congenial, as you suggest, Lawrence, would be a good play. All right. Thank you for the help.
You're more than welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, Speaks, I hate to be the one to tell you this.
Oh, no. Don't. You're going to say it, aren't you?
We need to talk about the Cubs next.
Oh, man.
I know we had a nice little break there, a lot of Bears conversation, a little bit of grocery conversation.
That's how much I don't want to talk Cubs.
We need to talk about the Cubs.
Oh, no!
Yeah, we got to bring it back. Why? Because we are done in about 30 minutes to get you to Cubs and Blue Jays pregame. So let's talk about the Cubs, and I want to dig deeper into my idea of losing the battle. Because, oh, by the way, the Brewers won today.
12 in a row. They won their 12th straight game.
That look that the two of you just had when I said that? So now the Cubs are 8 games out, right?
As we sit here now, they're 8 games out. Chance to get 8.5 by the end of the night.
8 is enough.
To fill our lives with love.
Back after this on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Craig Counsell.
When I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learned that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Could you expound on that?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
Afternoons on The Score.
Craig, how does not having John Birdie and having the three catchers affect how you manage a game during the course of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, we ultimately made a decision that just the depth at catcher and injuries to current catchers, we didn't want to get in a bind in that situation. You know, I think John, you know, he wasn't playing a lot and he had a pretty limited role. You know, but we do have to do some things a little bit differently.
It's Craig Counsell on with us earlier. If you want, you can go check out the rewind function on the Odyssey app and listen to the whole thing. It's pretty good for a team that's now 8 games back in the National League Central going into action tonight. Before we get back to talking about what's going on with the Cubs, a lot of great football conversation and football talk on The Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Big fan of Paramount Plus because I'm a big Trekkie, and so all of the Star Trek series are on Paramount Plus.
Oh, really? All of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Anyone that you want. And Strange New Worlds is the latest series, and it's great. And this season has been a lot of fun. So there's that stuff. There's Key and Peele stuff that's on there. There's a show that I love that is actually sports related called The Game that has to do with a fictitious football team in San Diego called the San Diego Sabres. And I watch that show all the time. It's a spinoff of a TV show called Girlfriends. Kelsey Grammer was actually executive producer of both of those, strangely enough.
Look at that. That's knowledge. Deep-seated Paramount Plus knowledge.
Yep.
From my partner. Outstanding. He's getting ready to go on a flight to Toronto. You're headed to Toronto. What should Lawrence bring us back from Toronto? He's going on a one-day trip. Something from Skydome. How about a pillow from one of those hotel rooms?
I tried.
You should get a hotel room.
I tried. Like, that was the goal. The goal was, like, I'm going to get a hotel room and watch the game from the hotel room.
That's a bucket list.
Yeah, how much was that going to cost you?
They're not even available. Like,
of course not.
I was like, oh, you know, who's doing that midweek? You know, it's a lot of people. That place was sold out last night. It'll be sold out tonight.
How about hotels.com? Do people do that? Like, is there a StubHub for hotel rooms?
That's a good question. I didn't want to get into the dark arts of that because I just found a nice like Airbnb nearby.
Yeah, it's on Backpage. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This hotel room comes with a person. This is unfortunate.
It's on,
or is it
on Facebook? Facebook Marketplace. I could probably find it.
But that also comes with a person.
But what do you want? Like, do you, if I can find like a Joe Carter something or other, you want it? Or?
Tony Fernandez. That was my guy.
I will say that when I travel around, one thing I do look for is the local like sports store. So you come up sometimes, you're like, oh, look at that. There's a hat that I never knew I could get, or a color scheme that I found my favorite hoodie just walking around the middle of Montreal. And now I have this beautiful hoodie in French talking about the 1982 All-Star game. I'm looking forward to hoodie weather so I can put it back on again.
That's outstanding. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, if you see something that screams us, okay, you can take care of us.
All right, not a problem.
Yesterday, when we were talking to Nico Horner, Nico gave a great answer that stuck out to both of us about what players can do when multiple parts of the offense are slumping and you're thinking about the whole team, you're thinking about yourself, thinking about what the Brewers are doing. As you said, they won again, and it's a lot to keep thinking about. And Nico said that you have to make sure that you look at yourself and what you are doing.
We're obviously aware of all of those things. As much as we try and focus on the day-to-day and what you can control, like, obviously there's still a very human element to the different parts of the season. And, you know, that fine line is always on, you know, how long do you stick stubborn to things individually and as a group that you really believe in, and when do you really, you know, take a step back and make changes to things, and then there's some kind of space in between. But yeah, obviously we're not playing regardless of how the Brewers are playing, we're not playing the quality of baseball in the last couple of weeks that, you know, we know we're capable of, and that what we need to do if we want to win the division, go to the playoffs, and ultimately win the World Series, which is what this is all about. So yeah, before you start looking at other teams, if you're not checking the boxes yourselves, then that's not worth anything.
So what stuck out to you and lingered for you as we watched that game last night?
Well, the fact that we saw someone try something different. Like, that was amazing to me. Like, that we had heard all of this time about Kyle Tucker, that he doesn't really like to do BP. And even if you go back to spring training, Council being like, how many games do you need to get ready? And he basically gave him the minimum amount of games, and it worked. Like he, this is his process, and I'm okay with that.
Because he works privately. It's funny. You can see it. A lot of times he's not around the clubhouse in the open clubhouse time because he's back and he's working and he's doing his thing. And a lot of guys don't even hit outside at BP anymore, because like people will buy tickets and try to come early. When my buddies were in town for the Red Sox series, they're like, can we go early and watch BP? You know, and some people still do that, but who do you see doing BP? Sometimes you don't see guys because they're inside.
Right. And it's a great thing now that the Cubs even have that, because it used to be they would drop a net in the clubhouse and have a ball on a string or a ball on a tee. Like, this wasn't that long ago.
This is during our period of covering the Cubs,
it
people.
It is.
In my day, they used to drop a net so you could take swings inside the clubhouse.
That's legit.
That's true.
That is. Can you, Alex, you're laughing.
Can you imagine that?
It's 100% true.
Oh, and there was literally, all right, who wants to hit next? All right, Jimmy, you go behind the net. Here, you can take the bat.
And then the interview room that they had was like right next to it.
The dungeon.
It is a dungeon. Ozzy wasn't lying when he was talking about rats over there.
That one time I was there, Lou Piniella was chained to the radiator. True story. It's a dungeon down there. Got to be careful.
Did the rats ever take batting practice in the clubhouse?
They didn't. They were allowed to, though. They were welcome. I mean, you didn't even have to invite them. They just were there. All right, editor's note, I never did see Lou Piniella chained to a radiator.
So one more thing, just to kind of bring this home.
Thank you for clarifying.
I felt like I needed to.
This was only 13 years ago, okay? The scouts for the Cubs before Theo got here didn't have smartphones.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The amount of things that they needed to do, man.
They were filing actual paperwork.
I think that was half of my job. Hosting Hit and Run or or with me and Mac or whatever it is, half my job was explaining to people just how far away the Cubs were from being a functional organization.
Uh-huh.
It was staggering.
The idea of they were filing paper reports and weren't coordinating them at all. And then Theo came in and was like, what are y'all doing?
Theo's like, where are the offices? And they're like, you see that trailer right there in the parking lot? You're laughing, Alex. It's true. See that trailer right across from McDonald's? Yeah, we work out of there.
So where Gallagher Place is now, do you know what used to be there? A donut shop.
Oh, man. They were
Yum Yum Donuts.
Yum Yum Donuts.
Back were they good donuts?
Day, that's a good question.
They were. I enjoy Yum Yum Donuts.
No Spunky Dunkers.
No, not Spunky Dunk.
I've never been to Spunky Dunkers. I just like saying it a lot.
I have, and they're great.
Well, I'm jealous.
Did the people, the Cubs at that time, pay by check?
At the donut
For the
place?
Donut place? But, yes.
But legit, it was before they Gallagher Way. I said Gallagher Place. But before they redesigned all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Spiegs isn't lying. There was an actual trailer.
Yeah, they had front office people working in the trailer.
On the corner of Addison and Clark.
Where's your, and then Waveland. Waveland, there were some trailers there. Where's your stats department? It's that guy, that Johnny over there. Oh, we just hired two other people. That's cool. How many people you got in your stats department?
That double wide over there?
Yeah, we've got three.
So our GM is.
I know that there are younger people. Like, Baby T is looking at us like,
what?
Like, they're lying. Oh, yeah. They're messing with me.
Oh, yeah.
We are not.
Oh,
this is 100% true.
Some of those stories, man. My God. In my day, gas was a nickel. Bread was a quarter. Dogs, we let them around on leashes. They didn't vote. Back in my day.
How much was a slushie at 7-Eleven?
I don't remember. I didn't get them.
It wasn't a nickel, but when I was in college, gas, I'd go to Indiana with my little Honda Civic because gas was 85 cents a gallon.
$5, you could get anywhere you needed to go, young man, including uphill both ways to get to school.
Poor Baby T. He's like, what is going on right now?
That one's a killer for me.
Just don't tell me what a house cost at that time. I don't want to know.
No, you want to know.
Don't tell
you
me.
We don't even have to go that far back. We could talk to you about what a house cost 10 years ago.
Yeah, danger.
Yeah. Anyway, so the thing that's now different for Kyle Tucker is that he took BP yesterday, and they talked about it on Marquee.
Before the game, he hit on the field, so we have some shots of him taking batting practice out there, which to some people this might be, okay, well, what's the big change? This is the first time all season he's taken BP on the field. I asked him about it, and he kind of jokingly said, I'm trying to learn how to hit again. It has not been going well for Kyle Tucker the last couple weeks, has not been able to square up any baseballs, not pulling the ball in the air as much, much more ground balls. So he's trying to figure something out and trying a multitude of things.
Kyle Tucker is trying anything. He's scrambling. Asked Craig Counsell about that today, and he's like, well, I think you're grasping there. No, I'm not the one grasping, Greg. Kyle Tucker is the one. That's what I should have said when he called me out. Like, I think you're really reaching. Like, no, Craig, I'm not the one reaching. Kyle's the one reaching.
You guys are reaching to find those eight games that you got to make up.
You're reaching up into the standings. To try
you
and,
got 44 games left to do it.
Oh, boy. 8-44. It can be done.
It can be done. Yeah. But usually the rule is you want to be one game back per weeks left in the season. And I got some bad news for the Cubs.
Hold on. Baby T, do that math. We asked Craig Counsell earlier in the show.
Baby T calculating.
Thank you, sir. Baby T calculating. I like that. We asked him about bringing up young players. You know, I'm thinking Ballesteros, I'm thinking Owen Casey, anything like that. So we talked to Craig about that. And have you thought about or talked with Jed about or wrestled at all with the idea of like bringing up a kid, bringing up a I mean, I know Moises has been here, but maybe bringing Moises back or bringing up Owen Casey. Have those conversations happened at all to try to give the offense a jolt?
I mean, look, I think we have good offensive players in this lineup. And, you know, we can there's going to be times in the season when they struggle a little bit. But I know collectively and in here and in the organization and everybody and the fans, we should believe in this group as offensive players. We should absolutely believe in this group. this is a good group of hitters. It's a good offense. And I understand there's some guys struggling right now, but this is a good offense.
I thought that was a really strong statement by Craig Counsell. I like how defiant it is, to tell you the truth, Speaks. Like, believe in this group, because we have seen this group collectively click. We saw it go all the way to us talking at the All-Star break that they deserved more All-Stars. And Michael Bush deserved to be an All-Star. Seiya Suzuki deserved to be an All-Star. That Carson Kelly deserved to be an All-Star. And Carson Kelly's still been fine. But that's how that offense can look when everything is working. But it just seems like so many guys are broken at the same time. It's one thing if it's just Kyle Tucker, okay? But it's not. It's Kyle Tucker. It's PCA. It's Ian Happ, who over the last couple weeks has been okay.
It's Michael Bush.
It's Michael Bush.
He's hitting .153 in his last 30 days going into last night.
And here's what you can have. I expect for the highest paid player on this team to do some damage with the bat. I know that we're not always getting that from Dansby. What I do not expect from him, and what cannot be tolerated, is him making mistakes in the field.
Two errors last night for the first time since 2022.
Ridiculous. And now you wonder. That's where I keep going back to the lose the battle to win the war thing. That's a guy that you have to tackle. Let's take him out of the lineup. Do you need to rest him more?
I mean, well, what do you do, Lawrence? They kind of need to rest a lot of people. Like, Nico even referred to it at the end of our segment. Hope people enjoyed some August conversation where you're just kind of trying to do some other stuff. Like, these are the dog days, man.
It's rolling blackouts. That's what they've got to do with the players.
Well, you got Willie Castro to help you do it. Now you don't have John Birdie. You got three catchers on your team, which is kind of a hindrance, frankly.
It really does seem that way. And why do they have three catchers? Speaks
because Reese McGuire doesn't have any options left, and that's their third guy, and you're going to risk not having two big league catchers that you trust in the playoffs. You drop Reese McGuire, you DFA him, somebody's going to pick him up to be their second catcher or their third catcher if they got another one with options. They probably should have traded him before the deadline, you know, so you could get a little something if you add somebody else, but they must not have anybody else that they like and trust at Iowa as a catcher. So Craig said it, the answer, got to preserve our depth there.
I had a moment last night, and I think you had the same moment, when we heard this that our ears perked up. It was just Assad had just finished his outing, and Boog asked JD about it.
Here, Assad, what'd you think of Assad here tonight? Yes. A lot of traffic. He dealt with it.
I mean, the good news is, you know, he's back. And we talked about the velo. We saw at least one 94-mile-an-hour fastball from him. So the ball was coming out of his hand pretty nicely. His command wasn't sharp. I mean, first time out in a long time. There's a lot of adrenaline.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And it's a really good lineup he's up against.
That pause was also 7 months pregnant by JD before he gave you the.
What'd you think of Assad? Yeah. I mean, he gives up contact. His superpower when he's been good has been getting outs with runners in scoring position, getting outs with runners on base, bearing down, locating perfectly, executing pitches. And winning those particular moments, you know, with competitive pitches. Last night he got beat with a couple men on. That 3-run homer was death.
Yeah, it really was. Oof. Well, we've got Cubs baseball coming up. And now they're chasing 8. So let's see if they can get back to 7.5. That would be good. They have a game tomorrow afternoon. We actually don't know if we're going to be on the air tomorrow.
We'll be ready. You'll be in Toronto. I'll be here, and I'll be ready to go on and bring you on from Toronto, which I think would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because first pitch of that game is right when our show would begin.
It's 2:07, this first pitch for tomorrow. And we'll see. We're hoping.
I bet we'll have a show. I bet you'll hear us late in the 4 or middle of the 5 even.
I don't think we're going to get on in the 4.
All right, we'll see you in the 5.
We will see you in the 5, though. Want to go to Riot Fest?
If you do, be caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670. You win 2 tickets to the Friday, September 19th day of Riot Fest. Two GA passes coming your way. Be caller six right now.
For Alex, for Baby T, for Speegs, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will do our best to return the favor tomorrow, pending when the Cubs game ends. Enjoy Cubs Blue Jays. We'll talk to you tomorrow or Friday or something. We don't know. Bye.
Longtime rockin' jock guy, Craig Council. I had no idea.
Yeah, big fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.